Welcome to That Guy's a Maniac, the Sweatcast.
The Sweatcast.
The Sweatcast. We are a video game podcast. We have a website called www.thatguys.co.uk. We have some socials at That Guy's a Maniac, one word lowercase. My name's Kenzie Wanman, aka Farley, and if my co-host wants to introduce himself.
Yeah, but I'll do it with a little bit of energy, shall I? Because there seems to be a complete lack on your side. You all right there?
I just can't do it with this hot weather.
All right, yeah. Hi, I'm Richie.
Great. And do you have a quote for us?
Oh, yeah, of course. Brilliantly segued as well. So, yes, I do have a quote for you. Are you ready for this one?
Yes.
So this is a quote from a video game. I want you to try and work out what one it is. I'll give you hints along the way. Right, you ready?
Yeah.
Don't wish it were easier. Wish you were better.
Don't wish it was easier. Wish you were better.
Yeah. Don't wish it were easier. Wish you were better.
Strange. In the immortal words of, what's his name? Joe Kendo?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I'd have a clue.
You don't have a clue. So,
by the time I noticed anything was wrong, the entire city was infested with zombies.
So, I don't really have a confirmation on this, because I just re-googled it, and apparently it is a quote from Jim Rohn, and I hope he's a nice guy, or hopefully, but apparently it's a quote from Animal Crossing.
Okay, who says it, do you know?
Jim Rohn. I have no idea.
Is that a character in Animal Crossing?
No.
How are we feeling about this gimmick?
This one is very, very hastened, and it is Chief who says it.
Chief. Love,
yeah.
Chief.
Yeah.
It's a dog.
Yeah, so confirmed it is a quote from Animal Crossing. We did not just
Breaking
look it up 30 seconds ago.
Breaking news. Confirmed.
It's Chief. And he says, don't wish it were easier, wish you were better.
Thanks, Chief. Yeah. For all your Animal Crossing quote needs.
Oh my god, crossover with season one.
Hey!
Right, okay, so we are still continuing our segment of questions.
Mm-hmm.
What was the theme of these questions?
Getting
to know you. You did the song.
Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you, where we delve into each other's gaming histories, opinions, feelings, as a way to kind of, you know, get a sense of the kind of person we are through the games we love, play, in some cases, dislike.
Yes. That was very eloquent.
Yeah.
For somebody who's dying in 32 degrees.
Someone in the sweatbox, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Right, well, first up, and this one's going to be directed at you, Farley.
Okay, yeah.
What game have you played through the most? Now, that might be like repeat plays or whatever, but what game have you played through the most?
Yes, this is a good question. And the reason why it's phrased like that, I think, because it's not just, we're not just after what game have you played the most. Because, well, I think it's fairly obvious in your case, right? It's probably WoW, right?
Yeah. Yeah, annoyingly. I mean, like, by / played hours, yeah, definitely. I did have another candidate, but... ugh, yeah, probably is in my case.
But, yeah.
But this is not my question, it's your question.
By quite a margin. Yeah, but that's why it's phrased in this way. I think... secret question. I've I'm just at, and I don't really want to log in to play it anymore. I'm at 999 hours, 59 minutes in Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Nice!
Yeah. I gotta try and capture the 1,000. So, yeah, games you kind of burned through the most. And famously, especially in the age where games are cheap, and you can pick up huge collections, the vast majority of which, I remember when people were looking at things like achievement stats, you know, and it's some silly quote, like most people don't finish most games at once.
Yeah.
So thinking about games played through the most, the vast majority, that's not even one. And then there's a handful of games that I've beaten, like, that I remember playing through twice. So we've got Pokemon Yellow, Pokemon Sword Shield.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
Tomb Raider, Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy IX, Starlink, all the way through twice. Dino Crisis, I've played quite a bit of. Pokemon Snap. Games that I've played through three or more times. I can only really think of Resident Evil 4. And
yeah,
you know, every time it came out. Well,
oh, that new platform, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll put it on and then remember how good Resident Evil 4 is and then play it all the way through.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Such a good game. And I don't know if you've seen any of the remaster stuff about Resident Evil 4.
Right, so they're doing a remake. The remasters already came out, and that was for 360 and PS.
Whatever, remake, remaster, it doesn't make any difference.
So people are not too chuffed with the idea of a potential remake of Resident Evil 4 because it's such a tight game.
Well, this is famously in hand quotes, we said when the news came out, but then having seen a couple of the screenshots, I was like, yeah, maybe. It's going to be really good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just seeing it in the new, is it the RE engine?
Yeah.
Yeah. And just remembering Resident Evil 4, thinking, oh, yeah, that could be really, really good. Not to take away from the original.
No, anyway, I mean, like, those remakes, Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3, were great. So I love burning through them. So I imagine it will be good, but I think it has to pay some kind of justice and not... Maybe it needs to be different enough to not be Resident Evil 4.
Pay some kind of justice?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, like, rather it pays justice to Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
And is a different game. Much like Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, keeping everything the same, the tank controls and that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's, if they do the Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3 treatment, I think it's
Yeah.
It's almost guaranteed to be quality game. Anyway, back to the question. And games that I've played through the most, I've got two contenders, I think.
Okay.
One of which is Dead Rising.
Yeah, of course, because it's got the roguelike element in it.
Yeah, but also, for a while we used to have geekends where a bunch of us would get together, normally in the smallest flat we could find, and play card games, board games, video games. And for a good couple of years, I don't know how it ended up happening, but I would just sit and play Dead Rising whilst everyone else was doing whatever, as a background activity. And so occasionally people look over, how's it going? I'd be smashing a TV into a zombie's head or whatever. And so I must have played through it 9-10 times just by doing that. And I'd get it down pat as well, so I could do it in a couple of hours.
But and yeah, so there was like the achievements as well in it to kill like zombie genocide or something.
Oh,
like
that. Yeah. I didn't get close to that after 10 playthroughs.
Because that would count over different playthroughs as well.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Because otherwise you're pretty much just killing zombies constantly, just driving up and down the underground car park in the golf carts. It's hundreds and hundreds of zombies. But I think, having put some thought into it, the game I've played through the most is probably the original Resident Evil 2. Fitting with our identity. Just because, and I imagine you're the same, used to have it down pat, you know, just be able to do it as a casual, you know, sub 3 hours. Oh, I'm going to sit down and play Resident Evil 2. And, you know, do it without saving, unlocking the Gatling gun and the rocket launcher and all that. And we touched on this in one of our recent podcasts. Just having that memory of knowing exactly what you had to do, right? There's no point going in this room. You can dodge this guy. You need to go here.
This, do that thing so that, you know, this thing won't happen. Yeah.
Remembering when you needed the fucking cranks and the valves. You know, just being devastated when you left one over the other side.
Yeah, yeah. Going up to a door and thinking, oh my God, it's another three rooms away. And I dodged the zombies. I didn't kill them. I need to go and get this key.
Or making a mistake, so you're carrying too many items and you can't pick up something. So yeah, I think it's probably from start to finish, from, you know, title to credits, probably Resident Evil 2. And I was thinking in my notes, for thinking about this question, this is really trite, so please do rip it to shreds. Is playing through games really a thing anymore?
Like, as you were saying it, as you said, well, I'm just going to sit down and play through Resident Evil, you know, 3 hours. And I thought, like, when was the last time I did that with a game? Like, games have too much content now, and they...
Yeah. Here we go. Old man rant incoming.
Yeah. Well, no. I think with cloud saving and auto saving becoming more of a thing, like, if you remember, like, at the again, old man ranty coming, at the start of the 360's life cycle, you had a hard drive in it, you could save onto the hard drive, but there was no cloud saves. There was a process that you went through where you through one of the updates 2 or 3 years later were able to move your saves onto the cloud. You know, that's madness to me. You know, that is just crazy, and it's something I take so much for granted as well. Like, Steam games, I don't even think about it anymore. Like, download a game, play through the game, go onto another machine, load up the game, and it's just automatically got my save file there and ready.
Yeah,
and like, that is like, this is a utopian world that, you know, people don't take it enough for how great that is. You know, that is the dream that we wanted, and we were brought up in a time where there wasn't any memory cards, there was no saving on some games. You know, like, NES games didn't have, well, some NES games didn't have save files. In fact, some SNES games didn't have save files.
Yeah,
you know,
and then you had the password system, which I don't think I've ever written down a password in my life. You know, I think Metroid, maybe Super Metroid, has a password system. You know, so it, magically, it remembers your game. I guess it's not that magic. There's like several key points, but it remembers your game progress from a generated password, which is a cool system, but I'd never used a password system.
I remember password systems from the Amiga.
Wow.
I remember actually Another World, that's it. It has a password system in it. And I remember I was trying it lots of different, because it's four letters. And I was trying different words, and I remember I put in, because I had a, do you remember you used to have MicroMaster Transformers?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, so I had one which was a sort of a rocket launcher. A tank, but with a rocket launcher on it. And his name was Flak, F-L-A-K.
Yeah.
And I typed that in. and I got to some crazy bit in another world where you and your mate are escaping from a prison and you're just running and there's loads of people and there's like holes you fall down and die. You get a gun and yeah, it was just all good fun.
Love another one.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I mean, there are still the big narrative games that come out, and even though I criticized it, Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3, the remakes, are built around playing it, right? There's a whole slew of achievements, unlockables for beating it under this time.
Yeah,
I suppose that's
the thing. It's like, the goals for replayability nowadays are like roguelike sort of things, New Game Plus, or... Yeah, I don't know. And also... Yeah. Nobody wants a game that doesn't last less than 40 hours, you know?
I know, except if you're old men like us. It's like, yeah. Please. I mean, that's why, one of the many reasons why I absolutely love those two Resident Evil remakes is played through them, absolutely love them. And, you know, I've now put them away. I don't need to log in every day, or I don't get... notifications about my, you know, this new season that's happening, because although those things are nice, it's nice to occasionally, like maybe once a year, I'll be like, oh, I'll play Resident Evil 2, and then maybe play through it twice and go, yeah, that's a really solid game. And the other stuff's nice, having, you know, seasons and DLC and new characters released, or, you know, in Pokemon it's the raids and the battle seasons, in Warframe it's new content, new modes, but you know, most of us only have space for one of those types of games.
Exactly.
And so I end up, you know, love Warframe, but I don't play it very much because I'm not, you know, not logging in all the time. And when I do log in, and it's a particular thing about Warframe in general, I'm just so lost. You know, you get a scree of messages over from the last 6 months about, you know, something you unlocked, and here's, you know, National Breast Cancer Awareness, you know, ribbon you can put on your outfit, and we've introduced this Railjack mode, and then we've introduced this kind of weird raid. So I don't, you know, I'm just logging in to play for a couple of hours. I don't even understand what's going on here. I don't know how that works. I don't know how these new missions work. So that can, if it's not one of those core games that you do kind of play in the background or invest in as games for a service, it kind of pushes me away because it feels like I'm not, you know, this is such a gaming psychology. It feels like I'm not playing it optimally, you know, or I'm missing out.
Yeah, I know. And it makes it easier to walk away.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same, like, whenever I try a new mobile game, there is a point where, oh, yes, I'm really invested. Oh, I really like these characters. Oh, I like this thing. Oh, you want me to pay money? Let me think about it. And then it's when I start doing that, I just like, fuck off. Done. Out. Get out of my life. You know? And it really pisses me off as well, because... There's a lot to like about some of the mobile games that I've enjoyed, and I would enjoy playing them, but it's just like, oh, this game's really slow now. Why is it really slow? Oh, because I need to pay in order to do this, or if I'm going to win against the other players in the leagues, I need to pay money. And you're like, oh, fuck you. But I mean, the thing is that those mechanics, I mean, they come from old JRPGs, you know, you've got this wall, you now need to either grind to get better, or you can, you know, like try and push further, but instead of having, you know, experience, you've got a paywall instead. And it's just, ugh, I don't know. Those mechanics have then somehow retroactively gone back into other games which aren't free to play. They are just like normal games, but like everybody likes these mechanics, but now you don't need to pay for them. Like, nobody likes them. And yeah.
It's, I mean, it, obviously, there's a big part of it which is psychological trickery.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure we both have put down money on games, some of these, like, freemium games. And sometimes I approach it from a, you know what, I have, you know, got this game for free. I have really enjoyed it. I've logged in daily. And so it's my, you know, I'll drop whatever, 20 quid on it as the season pass. But that's, and then sometimes I'd never play the game again. You know, so that's my way of saying to the developers, like, thank you. I did enjoy your game. And I think I got my money, you know, I got my time out.
Yeah.
Of it, so
I don't justify throwing a fiver at it. You know, I don't, I don't justify. I don't,
begrudge.
Yeah, don't begrudge it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's fine.
But there is something about those hooks, particularly. So I'm normally quite good. I do have a suite of the Nintendo ones on my phone for, you know, when you're stuck somewhere with good Wi-Fi, like the Mario Kart World Tour, Fire Emblem, and every now and then I'll play that, and you know, you do get hooked again, and then you're hovering over the shop going, should I? But then when you do buy those things, particularly everything season passes now.
Yeah.
And again, it's such of this blatant trick of, well, if you get the season pass, you can get the most out. In some cases, if you get the season pass, you can earn back the money that you paid for it in terms of gems or whatever, you know,
yeah,
if you play through the entire season pass.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, you need to be logging in every single day for 30 days, 2 months.
And if you miss one day, you won't actually make your money back.
Yeah, or you won't get that.
Yeah, yes. It's loads of stuff
that
like that.
Super shiny thing that sits right at the end of the tree. You know, you normally get something shitty up front.
Yeah.
Like some skin or costume or cosmetic, but then there's something really, really nice at the end.
The thing that gets me and usually puts me right off is, like, you'll go to, like, they even do this in, like, Pokemon Go. Like, you'll go to whatever the game currency is. You'll have a look through the shop, and as you're talking about hovering, and then you'll have a look and think, all right, okay, I could get that pack of coins, it'll help me out, it's 20 quid, and then you look down and you see this goes all the way up to 300 quid.
Yeah,
and it's just like, I'm not, no, fuck this, you know, like, but there are people who are throwing 300 quid at this, you know.
Yeah,
but they're the whales, they're the ones that they try to get, which are paying for it for the rest of us, you know.
Yeah. Often the you know, those top tiers get pretty high. I was looking at Magic the Gathering Arena, and obviously they do quite a good job in with you know, sleeves and pets and whatever if you buy season pass and stuff like that. But yeah, you could drop hundreds of pounds on one version of those currencies or not. And but I quite liked the point you made earlier about perhaps this coming from JRPGs, because I've, as you know, I'm trying to do this stupid Operation Last Bus Home, trying to get all the Pokemon out of the old games. So at the moment I'm on Sapphire, and I just forgot how much of a slog. That, you know, although we don't tend to think of Pokemon games as being JRPGs, for
they
whatever
are.
Reason.
They are. Yeah.
You know, they don't sit up there in the pantheon of JRPGs for one reason or another. But yeah, in order to, so I have to. There's a thing called the Battle Tower. There's a level 50 Battle Tower and a level 100 Battle Tower. There's ribbons for being on the team that beats those. When I was playing that game for reals and had all my team and items and money and whatever, I never got to 50 battles. So I'm trying to do it now with a suboptimal team. So I was like, yeah, let's get some, who are the cheapest, nastiest Pokemon from Sapphire to carry, you know, a Nidoran and a Mr. Mime through.
Yeah.
So I went for a Metagross and Salamence. And it's taken me hours to catch them, then EV train them, and then just getting up to level 50, which these days, you know, in a modern Pokemon game like Legends Arceus, Sword or Shield, is 20 seconds in the shop.
Yeah.
You know, and then,
and it's not real money, it's just like whatever crap you've collected.
Yeah, no, yeah, in-game currency, you're force feeding this thing rare candies, like you're some kind of feeder. I reckon it's taking about 5 hours to do all that, just for these two Pokemon. And that's just to get to 50. after I, if I do the Battle Tower, keep your eyes on www.thatguys.co.uk to do. I then have to get them up to level 100, and that is, you know, do you remember playing it? And even if you got lucky, was there lucky eggs in Sapphire?
Yeah, lucky eggs have been in since like the Gen 2.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, beating some high level Pokemon in the wild, and then just watching your XP bar, not even, you know, in undetectable like pixel movement. Oh, great! I've only got another 400 of these to, you know, hit level 90, level 97. Anyway, that's all by the by. Let's flip the question on to you. Which game, Richie, would you say you've played for?
I mean, I don't know if we want to really go into depth on the game that I played the most of. I would say you know what it is, and we've already answered this question. And it's World of Warcraft. So yeah. Not only have I played through about 4 expansions, and then I stopped playing, and then they now have this remaster version, the classic version, and I've gone through and I'm playing through that again. And it, you know, like it's a time sink. You can spend a lot of time on it. You can do lots of things. There's multiple classes to level up. There's different approaches. There's
Would you say rolling another tune? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Would you say rolling another tune kind of counts as a playthrough?
It depends what you define as the end. Getting to max level for a character.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of.
Yeah, but it's probably tip of the iceberg for what you spend in that game and that character as well. Because once you're end game, there's so much more to do.
So how many times do you reckon, if that's our definition of
going through WoW, how many times
have you played through WoW?
Probably so there's 10 classes. I've not done all of them. I'm going to say 12 times.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me. If you, you know, if magically you could plug all your memory cards and game files into some software that ripped all this data, to see how, you know, how diminishingly small the number of games, you know, most, as we started with, most games are less than one. Quite a few games, you know, you've beaten once, and then I reckon it just vastly diminishes, and there's just a handful of games on that far right of the graph, anywhere near like 10, 12 playthroughs.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, any honourable mentions? Because I would have thought Diablo would be up there, because every now and then when you get bored, you do just play through Diablo 2, right?
Three,
sorry.
Yeah, so I like the seasons on Diablo 3. I like the new things that they add, because when they do a new season, they bring in a new mechanic. Like, very famously, I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago, they brought in a season where you could completely kit out your follower to make him better, and you could give him set bonuses and things like that. And like, or her. And then they just kept that. It's just like, yeah, from now on, your follower just can have all of this stuff as well. Like, oh, that's really nice. That's quite cool. You know, so like they keep progressing with that. The thing is with the seasons is like I like going through that process of running through and doing it with a class or whatever, and you then get the full set bonus, and then you get to a point where you can continue to try and grind and push and get minutiae of stats up, or hope for particularly good legendaries. But then that's usually when I drop off. Like, yeah, this was fun. I enjoyed this time I spent doing the seasons. I'm done now. I'll move on to something else, you know.
Yeah, we've sung the praises of Diablo 3 before, but despite the fact we've just whinged about, for you anyway, they seem to really hit that sweet spot of, yes, it's games as a service and there's extra content, but you can kind of jump in.
It's not really, though.
It's not too overwhelming. You know, feel like you can get to the end of it. And okay, yeah, and then, you know, I'll come back for next season.
I mean, the difference is, like, with World of Warcraft, there is a monthly payment.
Uh-huh.
But with Diablo, it's a one-off cost. That's it.
For the season?
You don't pay for the season.
So it's just free updates.
Yeah.
So what's their motto on Diablo? Is there a shop?
No, well, if you remember, no, there's no shop. There's no extra money. You just pay for the game.
Yeah.
And you can actually get it half price whenever there's a Blizzard sale on. For yeah. all systems, and that's it. You are part of it. There is, you know, there's seasons where you can compete and go up the ranks and stuff like that. Not interested in that. I actually just like just seeing what they've done to the game and what's new coming out. That's it, really.
Wow, I can't. Do you remember which podcast it was where we talked about? It was like a debatey one. We talked about the insanity of the price of games, episode 30, season 1.
Yeah.
the insanity of it. Like how are they making the money?
Yeah.
Understand.
No idea as well. I mean, there is no extra money that I'm putting down.
Yeah.
But they just continue to support this game.
Lovely. That's what we like. Lovely.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say about WoW or any other?
I don't really want to talk about WoW anymore because, yes, I have spent a lot of time on it. But in the pantheon of games I've played, I would say I'm with you on the Resident Evil 2.
Hey.
I would say that's up there as well. I have revisited and replayed Ocarina of Time.
Ooh.
A multitude of times, and that is from start to finish. You know, that is defeating Ganon. One thing I've never done fully in Ocarina of Time is collected all of the heart pieces or got the fourth bottle. The pose. I think we've had this conversation.
Yeah,
before.
We have, yeah.
Yeah. It's just, that is end game and it is painful end games. And I just like, what is the point in having a fourth bottle when you're literally at end game, you know?
Well, it's like Lego games. Typically, you unlock one of the best characters as the last thing you do.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got nothing to do now.
Yeah.
I couldn't get this character any other way. And now I've got nothing to do. On Ocarina of Time, I'm sure we've discussed it again. Did you play, was it the Master Quest of it?
Yes.
There's not like an alternative version, so that's in there. It's interesting, and maybe this contributes, that both Resident Evil 2 and Ocarina of Time have had multiple releases.
Yeah,
well.
So that I've helps. Got it on the DS. I've played it on the N64, multiple times on the N64. I played the GameCube version that came with, what's it called? Wind Waker.
Yeah.
And I have played Evil emulated version where I was able to go in and change all of the textures and basically turn it into a remastered version of Ocarina of Time, which is really, really good. Yeah.
Is it on Switch Online?
Must be. Yeah, maybe.
I'm checking right now.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Check, carry on, Vamp. I've stood
Vamp.
Up.
Vamp. Yeah. Okay, so other than Ocarina of Time, another one that I've played a multitude of times, well, probably not a multitude, but several times, and I've really enjoyed each time, again from start to finish, is Chrono Trigger. Again, I've talked about it before.
You have?
Yeah. And there's just something thoroughly atmospheric about that game, the dystopian 90s nature of it, and the music, all that sort of stuff just really, really adds a lot to that game that just makes you think, I want to play this game again.
I can confirm Ocarina of Time is on the Switch Online N64.
Yeah, now that you see it, I've loaded it up and I've played it and I've got
I'm playing it right now. It's my first time. Should I do a live playthrough of Ocarina of Time? Link's on a horse. There's a moon.
I can already hear the music as well in my head.
Gang, gang.
No. Is it not good? It's very, very wispy.
Is it good?
The game. Yeah, it's not too bad. Although I think you might struggle to find the sword. It's weird. Like,
what should I name my character? I'm gonna go for Kanzi 1-1. It's a rhetorical question.
Okay, sorry. Yes, it is a good game. One of my gripes that I have with regards to Mario 64, and I do put these two in the sort of same bolt because they came out at the same time, they've got the same kind of graphics as well, is the camera.
Vast deep forest of Hyrule. Long have I served as the guide. Do you know how fun it is?
Yeah.
Maybe next time.
Is the camera. And in Ocarina of Time,
camera gripes. Yeah.
No, the camera is, it's one of these ones that you initially think, oh, this is terrible. I hate this. But then you realise you're locking on to the target. So yeah. That's what Navi does. Locks on. And therefore, you end up sort of cycling the camera behind you. And you're able to see what you're meant to see. And you can do that at any point. You just whoosh the camera behind you so that you can do a jump properly. And like that, I almost want for Mario, because it bugs me that you've got this weird
it's like
Lakitu thing where,
you
know, no, I'm going to turn this way so that you can see around the corner. Fuck off, stop turning.
have you ever killed Lakitu in Mario 64?
Killed Lakitu?
Yeah.
Lakitu?
Yeah, that's his name, right?
Lakitu. Okay, yeah, no, that's fine. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, there are a couple of things you can do. You kill him and then you're kind of stuck for a bit, I think. I think he obviously comes back. Because, you kind of killed the cameraman.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I'm surprised Skyrim isn't on your list. Would you just have just the one game? No, you start a couple of times, right?
I've started a couple of times. And to be honest, I would love to be in a position in my life where I could just give it all up for Skyrim again, you know? You know,
so, guys, I'm just taking 3 months off work. Play Skyrim, is that okay?
But, I should. I should just, pack in the WoW and just, redo Skyrim and enjoy all of the crazy new add-ons and things like that they've put into it. It's great when you can delve into those worlds and those big plots and just do what you want. And I think I really liked Fallout 4 story-wise and atmosphere-wise, but they added this awful, awful thing where you had to defend people. You'd be on the map, you'd be scouting, you'd be enjoying. I'd be doing my sneaky thing. I always end up doing high sneak sniper or high sneak bow and arrow builds, and that makes me happy. But you'd be doing that, and then suddenly you'd be getting on your radio, "Oh no, our camp is under attack. Can you come and help us?" And
that's never a fun mechanic.
No, it is
in,
not.
GTA. When you'd have to do the gang war stuff, that was a pain in the ass, and then the map would start flashing red. In Dead Rising, which is sort of similar, occasionally one of the survivors you'd rescue had a demand, and so there was a new clock where you had to bring them something, otherwise they'd go psycho and take some of your survivors. It's just never fun.
No.
Oh great, now I have to go and do this thing, and it's never challenging either. the challenging bit is getting back and doing it in time.
The thing is like, I don't want to do that, but the game makes you. You know, it's like, just hands down, I don't want to care about villages. I have zero attachment to these people, you know, but I have to. Otherwise, you know, I lose stuff or I get a degrading rank and stuff like that. And it's just like, that's why I haven't really got that far. I got quite far in Fallout 4. But I did all the DLC, because when you go off and do your DLC,
yeah,
everything goes on pause. You know, great, fantastic. Nice. Yeah, yeah, enjoy.
I do love DLC, which takes you and puts you in a different place. Yeah. Finally, I can relax. All those tickers ticking down, I can relax.
So I think, actually, if I was to go back and play through any one of those games, I think Skyrim is wonderful, and I love it to bits, but I think the most fun that I had in a Bethesda game was New Vegas. And it's purely because I think it tips, or it gets pipped to first place, because it doesn't have that horrible mechanic in it. You know, Fallout 4 is superior in every way. It's prettier. Yeah. You know, there's more things you can do with it. They've added better functionality.
Yeah.
It maintains a really, really good plot as well.
Yeah.
But the fucking base mechanic actually negatively adds to it. But yeah, I think I don't have much more to really add to my list of things that I've played through multiple times. As I said, last podcast, we were talking about Last Remnant. That was a game that you could complete after 40 hours, or if you wanted to fully, fully complete it, it was after 150 odd hours or 200 hours, you know. So you have to do all of the extra stuff.
Yeah.
Follow the plot exactly. And this is the worst part. If you don't answer one of the questions like correctly, you just can't complete the game entirely. So you're literally reading a guide every step of the way.
Yay, that's fun.
Yeah.
Or these days you're watching a YouTube video at times 3 speed and then pausing it and then doing exactly what you've just seen in the video and then unpausing it.
I'm enjoying playing this game.
Well, you know, some of it, like Last Remnant, some of it is, I'm not going to play another 140 hours of this game, so I don't want to fuck it up and then have to replay, you know, come back all the way to play it. Listen, picking up on something you said earlier about games as a service, do you ever see games which you think, again, this is a bit of an old man moment, you think, had that come out 10 years ago, I would have been all over that. But now I'm not even
willing to look at it. Yeah,
I'm not
even
going to download it. I'm sure it's great. What did I last have this with? I think Monster Hunter Rise. Looks beautiful, you know. It's already had two updates. I played the demo, which was like a multiplayer demo. Super fun. Adds verticality and you can ride around on the backs of monsters. There's no doubt that I'd have a whale of a time playing it.
Yeah,
it's all themed around, you know, Japan. So that's really the best of Monster Hunter's ever been. I just don't have time for a Monster Hunter Rise in my life. But yeah, who am I kidding? 10 years. If I was 20 years younger. 30 years younger. And in many ways, I'm kind of glad that games like that, in terms of scope, you know, we weren't
whatever
15, 16, 17, 18 for those to come out, because I'd do nothing. I would have done nothing else.
Yeah.
I
think there's several games that ring true of what you're saying there. The first one that popped in my head was pretty much any other MMO. Like, I just can't have room in my life for another MMO. Like, and people talk about, like, Final Fantasy. And, like, that would be good. I like Final Fantasy things.
You know, Chocobos, Moogles, music. Yeah.
Dark Knights and healers and crazy, songstresses. And
crazy crossovers.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But no, I just can't. The other thing, going back to JRPGs, is I pretty much don't have room for them in my life anymore. Mm. So one of the best and most fun experiences I had on a JRPG was Tales of Vesperia.
Yeah, you speak highly of the Tales of.
Very, very highly. And I truly enjoyed that. It even has a New Game Plus functionality, and it reduces the time you need to take through the game, because you can say, all right, you've already got this, you can skip these scenes.
Nice.
And then, you know, really, really caters for it. Not really done the New Game Plus, because I don't have time. But since then, I have bought every other Tales of franchise game in the hope of one day
having 6 months free.
Yeah, pretty much. And yeah, that is like, I know every single one of them are good. They're as highly praised as Tales of Vesperia. It is exactly the kind of JRPG anime nonsense fun that I like.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not spending 150 hours on this, nor am I going to have a little look at a guide, find out, oh, you really need to follow this stuff step by step on your first playthrough so that you can get everything.
Yeah, so you can get the ultimate weapon and then unlock it. And make sure you speak to that dog and,
Yeah, so it's like, I could, but no, I'm not going to. Like,
hey, listen, maybe the Steam Deck.
Yeah. I'm quite impressed that Final Fantasy VII runs on the Steam Deck as well. As in the remake.
No. You start a Final Fantasy game again and still haven't played through a remake.
Yeah. No. Remake is there. And it is playable on that little device, which is pretty impressive, to be honest.
Oh, hey, the... It's not the second game, the like sort of sequel also came to Steam this week, last week.
What sequel?
The one with Yuffie.
Oh, Entergate came with it.
Yes.
It came with it when it came out on his PC.
Oh, it's only just come out on Steam.
Nope.
Unless you got it recently.
Oh, no. I got it in Epic because it came out in Epic first. And it came with Intergrade.
There
you
go.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, man. I need to play Remake instead of Pokemon Sapphire.
Oh, crap. I got it in Epic.
Oh, no.
Womp, womp.
Never mind.
God damn it.
So, hey, I think we've...
I can't believe I said it out loud and then I had to wait for the penny to drop.
Yeah, I didn't even click. Yeah, no, it came on Epic when I got it on Epic. I'm looking forward to playing Final Fantasy VII Remake on my Steam Deck.
Well, you can. I, there are things you can do. I just haven't looked into it yet.
There are things you can do.
Yeah.
Nefarious.
No, not nefarious. As in...
You can buy it.
Yeah, I can buy it on fucking Steam.
Just buy
three
copies, four copies.
Oh my god, of that £70 game.
Oh, don't. I mean, it is worth it. And you have to buy all the special edition soundtracks they keep releasing for it. Well, I think we've answered that question fairly comprehensively.
Yeah, very comprehensively. That is one question. How far are we into this? We are 50 minutes into this podcast.
I think we almost segued into the next one, so perhaps we can squeeze this next question in. We've talked about these things a lot.
Yes.
So the next question is, what game, in your humble opinion, or honest opinion, or both, needs a remake?
So this is quite an easy one for me, and I've answered this before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know why or in what context, but No One Lives Forever.
Oh, that's a great answer. Yeah.
I'm just like, I would happily play through that game. I would happily have a third version, you know, like, you know.
Such a solid answer, dude. Because that game is really, really good. And it's one of those rare franchises that just disappeared off the face of the earth.
And it is just a first-person shooter done really well.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't need to have a whole crazy new engine. It doesn't need to have all this madness. It just really needs to be remade as a first-person shooter with the same cartoony graphics. Give everything a bit more of a curved edge rather than actual polygon edges.
Yeah.
And you're fucking laughing, man. That is money in the bank.
Yeah, that's a really good answer.
But yeah, so what about you? That's such a short question as well.
Yeah, compared to the last one. But yeah. And now I feel really self-conscious about my answer. So in thinking about this, is like, what game needs a remake? And you know, if you interact with the gaming community at large online, it's one of those things that comes up time and time again. And you know, this is really zealous fans who will just post underneath every post made by a video game developer, you know, when are you remaking. And to be honest, we've been again with that magical age where we saw all this stuff the first time around with the generation that was exposed to going from your Amigas to your SNESes to your PlayStation. Yeah. We're so lucky, and then we're also blessed in that we're really well catered for when it comes to remakes, right? It, you know, whatever 2020 to 2022, I think it was a smaller period than that actually, maybe 2019 to 2020, was 1998 2. 2 came out again. Yeah. Final Fantasy 7 came out again. Brilliant. But I think there is a lot of hankering for remakes when really not all games need them. So I had two thoughts, one of which was kind of a thought for society and one which is a thought for me. So my thought for society, my altruistic answer to this question, and it's not my final
answer. Wow, you told me an answer. Okay, go for it.
Is I think Command & Conquer.
Yeah, good partly, shout. That's a really good shout, yeah.
Partly because I absolutely love Command & Conquer. You know, it needs to commit to the bit, so you need to have the live action cut scenes with the actors, the rocking music, more the kind of Command & Conquer 2 than Tiberian Wars type thing, but also to try and bring RTSs back.
Yeah.
As a genre, I mean, they're kind of hanging in there as them.
They're there, but they're not accessible, I think.
Or their mobile games, you know. That tower defense end of it. I can't think of a single kind of decent RTS that's available at the moment. I guess things like, oh god, what is it? It's with the aliens. It's like 1957.
XCOM.
Yes, things like XCOM and Mario versus Rabbids is, you know, like a, how do you describe this? It's kind of like a personalized RTS, right? That's not really an RTS.
It has elements of it. RTS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not, you know, nothing has that building a base, harvesting resources, leveling up your tree. I mean, I guess Civilization never went away, right? But I guess you're either a Civ player or you're not, and unfortunately, I'm not.
Yeah.
That's my altruistic answer. My selfish personal answer for my own hedonistic wishes is Time Splitters.
Yes, good. I was going to say, it's like, like, if I get No One Lives Forever, we get Time Splitters as well. And
well,
they can all be on the same CD, and you can have Kate Archer as a character, and you can have a No One Lives Forever episode and blooming Time Splitters where they go to the 60s. You know?
Yeah, I do. It's weird, isn't it? I don't know what kind of classification system puts them together, but they do kind of fit together, particularly because
it's an FPS that's not taking itself too seriously, and at that time they all were.
Yeah, know? And there's a couple of like Harry Tipper is that kind of 60s 70s detective type. And so I guess what I want from Time Splitters is good couch co-op, hundreds of zany characters, fun weapons, amazing music. This is such a pie in the sky wish list, but really, really good story mode as well, and those amazing challenges. Yeah, I think before I wasn't really into first person shooters very, obviously played Doom and Quake and GoldenEye, but Time Splitters was one that really made me I loved it, played all of those games to death, even 3. Just so many weapons, so like the sci-fi handgun with the bouncing bullets, having the alternate fire all the guns, the mines. I guess with both of our choices, it's a migration away from hyper realistic, super gritty, ultra violent first person shooters, which shortly after Time Splitters 3 sort of took over. And stayed dominant, really. We lost the fun and wacky ones. I guess Team Fortress was kind of hanging around, right, for a bit.
But it's not the same. It's like that on the edge of cartoony. I think... I don't know.
A million times, but that's where I think Time Splitters 3 lost its way. It introduced vehicles in the map maker. It was trying to be Halo and doing really, really bad.
Needs to be a parody of Halo if it's going to do anything. And it felt like it was tryharding.
Yeah, it was really tryharding. It was like, hey, look, we're giving you a vehicle. Doesn't really work. Doesn't have a gun on it. You can't really create a decent level in our level creator, which is worth having. I mean, we made some fun levels where essentially you had to drive this gimpy Jeep essentially through like a lava pathway. So much fun was had. It's because the Jeep was so bad, not because the Jeep was so good. It was better off doing its own thing. And like you say, as a nod and a wink parody to, oh man, everything, right? Evil Dead, Big Trouble in Little China, all the time travel films, detective show.
I agree, and I was hoping that would be the case. One thing that I did mention last episode as well, Wario Land.
Yes, yeah, that's
a remaster, but like exactly the same, but without the flickering and with
exactly the same, but you can see it. The
Paper Mario graphics. That's what I want. Paper Mario graphics, but Wario Land. And it's identical form.
It's the same as the Donkey Kong Country games on the Game Boy. They were brilliant at the time, because... I don't know if you remember Donkey Kong Country on the SNES. It's hard to describe. It looked good at the time, but you look at it now, and you think, how on earth is that really weird... So almost like Mortal Kombat Clay Fighter
because they've got more pixels, they added this sort of realism look to it. I know exactly what you're talking about,
but in some levels, particularly those levels where it's snowing or raining, it's so visually busy occasionally your eyes kind of shortcut, like I can't. I'm just looking at static.
I'm the same with you, and like I think we've had this conversation before. I'm not a fan of the Donkey Kong series because of that. Just like, and shit will happen. Like, oh right, I need to jump into a barrel that is underneath that I can't find so that it can shoot me up on a diagonal.
As bad as that was on the SNES, or as bad as it is to go back on the SNES, imagine that condensed onto a Game Boy game. Yep. And I played through all of, I think, Donkey Kong Country 2, whatever the Game Boy ones were. They went up to 4, and absolutely love them. You know, it makes me think of the Wario game, I think, because both of them are set on pirate ships for parts of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be my backup choice, I guess. Those games specifically, in exactly the same way you described for the Wario game. Don't change a thing. Make it feel exactly the same in terms of the physics and all of that, but just make it playable.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Time has not been kind.
No, I don't.
We used to put up with a lot more shit when we were, you know, playing it by lamp in our bed. Or,
I suppose, and I used this analogy last time, give it the Diablo 2 treatment. You know, that remaster where you can flick it through to the disgusting old version.
If you want to remind yourself how lucky you are, just, oh, Christ.
Yeah. Press G. Press G. Ah, right, this is rubbish. Okay. Right, okay, yeah, back to it. But yeah, that sort of stuff. Yeah, like there's probably a multitude of games that the moment I end this podcast will be like, oh, why didn't I say this game or that game that definitely needs a remaster, you know?
Yeah, and to bring some of these games to a Amazon audience.
Yeah, like, yeah, absolutely. But have games changed past this point? Like,
well, sometimes it's really difficult to judge or to get that critical distance. Sometimes I think, gamers these days haven't had the same trajectory as me, and they're missing out on all these great older games. But then the other part of me is, there are so many games out there. You know, there are people who are just playing visual novels, and I'm sure there's people out there who are just playing RTSs. Like, what on earth are you on about? There are 400 RTSs, and I regularly play all of them. Emulations out there, as well as all the remakes and the remasters and the re-releases. So perhaps it's not as bleak as that. So I always struggle with, is this just my old man interpretation of what people do and what needs to be brought back versus what people are actually doing? But you know, I guess it's the games which are in the mainstream or very popular, which I tend to think of when I'm thinking about what people are and what they aren't playing.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe there
I'm just wondering if, like, say, mechanically with the save file system and how much everybody is sort of reliant on how modern technologies handle, like, just saving in general, like, or indeed how games can be piecemeal. Would these games translate to today's world?
Well, I think they would, and I think this is our first genuine reference made to the Dark Souls series. Look how well loved that was.
To be honest, the when you were talking about it, the example that came into my head was Cuphead.
Yes.
People playing this ridiculously evil bullet hell platform.
That's a really good example as well. So both of those examples, part of the appeal of them, us long in the teeth gamers, can interpret as, they just sneaked back what we used to put up with and made it mechanic, and now everybody loves it.
Yeah.
Both of those games are more than that, of course. They're beautifully polished and bring out the best of some of those hidden things. But yeah, and again, we've spoken about this before. There's something about, so I've got a lot of friends now who are just introducing their children to video games.
I know. Oh God, wait, make them feel old. I know.
But you know, despite how I'd say
put them through the hell of Commodore 64 loading sequences.
This is what they were talking about. They say, what can I get for my kids? They're like, whatever, they're this age and this age. Whereas when we were navigating this, it was just like whatever was out. Oh, this is some completely inappropriate ultra-violent game, but that's what's out and I'm playing. And with some of the dads who were game or played games more now, and they are having the discussion of, you know, it's so easy to just give them everything for very, very little, but actually perhaps I want to recreate that experience of, you know, here's the game you've got for 6 months, I want you to play it and, you know, really get the most out of it, and all the stuff we talk about when it comes to that muscle memory and working things out for yourself, versus, you know, hey, here's, you know, here's the
game, go watch some YouTube videos about it.
Yeah. Or here's the Switch Online expansion pass thing. Here's 300 games for you to just have all at once. Or do you offer them a more curated experience? Like, going back to the joke you just made of okay, you're going to play, you know, my top five Commodore 64 game, you know, on original hardware.
Yeah.
And then only then, once you've kind of gone through that, and then, you know, I'll allow you to play some NES games. It's really interesting quandary, I think, to be faced with.
Yep.
And one that I'm kind of glad I don't have to decide. But yeah, creating that feeling of getting the most out, you know, before you all end up like us with these vast game collections, the vast majority of which you've never even booted up, let alone played through or spent any time in. But then how did you develop your tastes, right? Like, do you go for the classics, or there's so much far formative memories of playing just random shit that you get
hands on. Can be applied to almost every kind of media entertainment as well, like television, music, you know, like the way that we were approached to like our television experience was, hey, on Friday night there's a TV show we want to watch. Yeah, can't wait for Friday night. Whereas now it is stream, stream, stream. Or you just have to pay for every single streaming service. And with music, who buys a CD anymore? You've got Spotify, you know? It's just like...
Yeah, but I guess those two examples have some overlap with gaming.
Yeah.
But if you were saying, you know, I'm letting my child watch TV, what should I watch? You wouldn't be like, wow, start off with the black and white stuff. You'd never do that. You'd like, just watch, here's a good age-appropriate TV program. But with music, you would be a bit more, well, if you're a, you know, music fan, perhaps, you would be a bit more of a dick. Like, oh, well, actually, you have to listen to, you know, this classic
absolutely
music.
Absolutely.
Like...
No. You can't like this band's newest album. You have to go back and listen to the album they brought out in the 90s. Yeah. That meant so much to me, you know.
Exactly. But also there is, I guess with gaming, there's the worry of, which we've endlessly talked about. You know, if you give them Mario Odyssey, right, which I think is probably one of the best games for children, I think it still has that wonderful Mario magic of teaching you how to play it, and, you know, in a way that feels effortless. It's then really hard to go back to Super Mario Bros.
Yeah.
And get the same experience out of it from when, if you're playing that the first time. I mean, that's a bad example, because I think Super Mario Bros. Is still worth a play. but yeah, you don't want to take that experience away from, you know, or be like, oh yeah, this is, you know, the equivalent is this band that I really listened to, which I absolutely loved, and then you know, copied off the radio and give your mate a tape, and they're like, oh, that's shit, mate.
Yeah. Exactly.
Can't believe you like this. And people your age liked to these games, did they?
Yes, it's got an amazing plot, and yeah, I know the control screen and camera are absolutely awful, but once you get used to it after 20 hours, it's great.
And that was, you know, that's back before we had analog sticks.
Yeah. God.
I know, when R1 and R2 was pan up and pan down in first-person shooters.
Oh my God, yeah, you're so right. Ugh, right, okay. I think 2 questions down.
Oh, yeah.
Quite impressive.
I think we genuinely got to know each other in that we just talk about the same six games for every question.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Who knew?
Yeah. It's not like we have a massive catalogue of games.
One of these days.
Yeah, yeah.
One of these days, reader, we might surprise you.
Yeah. Get that cancer diagnosis. Try and get some time off work and get through it.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Yeah.
Give us your...
The bucket list. Literal bucket list.
And give us your games. Chemotherapy and Tales of Diary at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, well. On that cheery note... That guy's a maniac.
Why'd he bite me?